We're now in the New Testament, as the past several weeks we've been in the Old. The Bible reads, not slothful in business. In other words, don't be slothful in business. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for the previous services earlier today, prayer services. And we thank you for the privilege of prayer and your holy word. And Lord, we acknowledge our nothingness without you and our weakness without you. And we pray for your spiritual, mental, and physical strength to do your will once again today. We do not take these opportunities, we do not take these privileges lightly. And so grant us your grace, your strength, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to do your will today, to preach your holy word and to preach your holy gospel. For we understand that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And Holy Father God, as we continue in prayer, Lord, we pray that you would lead us, guide us, and direct us throughout this Bible study time. And Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness and hindrance, Lord, from this place and from the hearts and minds and lives of the people who have that issue and that satanic confusion. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for how you led us in the previous services this morning. And we pray now that you'll bless and anoint this Bible class time and preaching time. We pray for the salvation of over 3 million people, souls, through the preaching of this of your gospel, through this ministry. We pray for the revival of Christian people, and we pray for over $3 million to come in to build the chapel, library, and evangelistic center and resource center for indigenous pastors and churches around the globe who are crying out for help. And Holy Father God, we pray that your holy name would be glorified, Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan always horrified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, this verse, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This verse comes in a series of pithy, straightforward sayings in Romans chapter 12 in the New Testament. Verse 11 gives us three interconnected commands that shed light on the issue of laziness, especially for the Christian, as Paul is writing to Christians. Over the past 8 or 9 weeks, we have been in the Old Testament on this subject. Tragically, there are some people now, all of a sudden, wanting to unhitch us from the Old Testament, primarily because they want to unhitch us from the commandments of God that deal with a man not getting involved with a man, sexually speaking, a man not having sex with a man, which is not even possible, because it is an abomination. God did not make man to do that. And so we have some Christians today who, and some preachers today who want us to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament simply because of these commandments. There are preachers today criticizing the Old Testament, having forgotten that they have preached from the Old Testament hundreds and yea thousands of times. So the Old Testament is good, and we ought to obey what God wrote in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Amen, somebody. And so after 8 or 9 weeks in the Old Testament dealing with laziness and slothfulness, now we're in the New Testament, and Paul is writing to Christians. Christians ought not to be slothful in their business. We ought to be eager and ready to work and to get the job done that needs to be done. Whatever the Lord leads us to put our hands to, we ought to be diligent and productive in doing it. And if you're working under somebody, be it in the church, be it on a job somewhere, be it as a volunteer, you need to do it the way they want it done and to their satisfaction, whether you feel like doing it or not. And quite frankly, if you're not going to do it with your whole heart, then you ought not to be there doing it, doing what you're doing at all. For some people work, but they have no enthusiasm. They have no excitement about their work. Stay focused. Stay focused. They're not enthusiastic about serving the Lord. They're not enthusiastic about serving others. They're not enthusiastic about even work that they should do for themselves. I find it strange when I talk to some people and you ask them what their passion is. What is their passion? And they can't even give you their passion. They don't even know what their passion is. Sadly, they don't even have a passion. And if they come up with something, they don't act enthusiastic or excited about their own passion. You cannot have a passion and not be excited about it. The lady who wrote the book, Business Boutique, she said millions of women today, she wrote it for women, millions of women today are doing their passion as a business because of the power of the internet. Do you have a passion? And are you passionate about your passion? May God help you if you don't have a passion for something. You're not excited about anything. Not even the stuff that you claim you like. Because if you're not passionate about your passion, you're not going to be passionate about somebody else's passion, and so therefore you ought not to work for that person, because you're not going to be enthusiastic about coming to work, working, and you're not going to be concerned about what happens after you leave work. The Greek word translated as in business means earnestness. Earnestness in accomplishing something, promoting something, or striving after something to give all diligence to a task. May God deliver us from people who are not excited about Jesus, who are not excited about working for the Lord. You don't even have a passion for the passion of Jesus. You're not fervent in spirit about lost souls. You're not fervent in spirit about helping others. As always, the youngest one, the newest babe in Christ, who is on fire about winning souls and telling souls about Jesus. Why is that? Because so many older Christians have become dead, disgusted, defeated, and disobedient. In other words, beloved, if you are going to work, go all in. Be excited about your work. Some of you who are here serving today, you need to ask your heart, are you enthusiastic about serving the Lord? Because that's who you're supposed to be serving. If you're serving anybody else, you ought to stop doing what you're doing. Because it will not count in God's kingdom. King Solomon said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Do it with thy might. Are you doing what you do, whatever God has given you to do, with all of your might? Are you doing it to the best of your ability, so that you can look in the mirror and say, you know what, I did the best I could, so that when you do lay your head down to sleep at night, that you got the peace in your soul, you did the best you could, you did what you were supposed to do, and you did it with all your might, you did it with enthusiasm and excitement. And then we are instructed to be fervent in spirit. The Greek word translated as fervent means to boil with heat, to be hot, to be on fire, to have zeal. In other words, the work you do ought to be something you are passionate about. Are you fired up and ready to go? Are you passionate about what you're doing? If you are a child of God, that is serving God and lifting up Jesus, are you passionate about what you're doing in other areas of your life, your education, your job? If you're not enthusiastic about your job, they really don't want you there, and you ought not to be there. When you think about your job, if it's a feeling of drudgery, you ought to resign. They don't need you there, and you ought not want to be there if you're not willing to give it 100%. And it is a shame and a sham if you are just working for the money. There's more to work than the money. I know that may sound strange to you, but it is. If your spirit is fervent about the work before you, you will work not only with your mind and hands, but with your heart and soul. I like what Adam Clark said about it. He said, in everything, let your heart be engaged. Be always in earnest, and let your heart ever accompany your hand. Amen, somebody. Let your heart always accompany your hand. Someone said, it's not just about the work. It's about the heart. It's about the mind. It's about the soul and the spirit. Are you giving your all? And so finally this morning, this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, we are instructed in the midst of our work to serve the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 5 through 7 tells us that whatever work we do, we should work as under Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Every Christian's life ought to be a life of service. Working in the church or on the mission field is not the only way to serve the Lord. Thousands, yea, millions of Christians serve the Lord behind the scenes. You never hear their name, you never see them. And they will be the ones, no doubt, getting the biggest rewards in heaven. The unseen saints who make it all happen. You don't need to try to push yourself forward. You don't need to be envious of the pastor with all of his charismatic gifts and talents and accolades. He'll be so far back in the multitude of people getting rewards, you won't even know he's there. You will hope that he's there, but you won't even know he's there. It's going to be the janitor who, after everybody abused at the bathrooms and left them stinking and filthy, at church, by the way, who comes behind around 6 o'clock in the evening and cleans up the church. That crew will be at the front. Not the big time pastor driving his Mercedes and getting all the pats on the back. It's going to be the doorman, faithful for 35 years, with his white gloves on, and the ushers. Nobody knows their name. Those who have to help people park and deal with Negroes who refuse to park where they tell them to park, and the pastor has told them not to say a mumbling word, just let them go. The ushers who deal with Negroes who you point them to the seat that they're supposed to sit in, and they go someplace else and sit where they want to sit, and messing up the plan. And you have been instructed by the pastor, don't say a mumbling word, let them go, let them sit where they want to sit, don't make a scene. I'm reminded of the usher who got fed up with that, and he said under his breath to this man who wanted to go sit someplace else, he grabbed him by, he said, here you go, here's a seat, here's your seat, sit right here. And the usher saw he was getting ready to go someplace else. The usher said under his breath, if you don't sit your behind down right here, we gonna have a problem. And the man went ahead and sat down. He was sick. He was sick and tired of Negroes wanting to go where they want to go in his church. And I got a feeling he did some other folk like, he jacked up some other folk like that and made them sit where he wanted them to sit. But that's okay, as long as they sit and hear the gospel and hear the word. And but those are the ones who will reap great rewards. You don't even know their name. How many of you know your usher's name? How many of you know the parking attendant's name? They got straw hats on out there in the heat. And they're wiping their forehead, sweating, making sure everything goes well. Thank God for the police officers who are members of the church, who come in uniform and volunteer, because the church really can't pay the police officer what he's worth. As you know, police officers get paid more doing side jobs than they get on their regular salary. They get sometimes double, and they deserve it. Thank God for the police officers who sit in the lobby. They can't even sit in the church. They got to sit in the lobby and watch folk coming in to make sure nobody's coming in with a gun in this day and time. Volunteers. They do it because they love Jesus. The pastor tried to give them a love offering, tried to give them some money, and they wouldn't dare take it. They wouldn't. They wouldn't take it if they shoved it in their hands, and made them take it, or shoved it in their hands. They don't want it. They're doing it for Jesus. These are they who will reap the great rewards. You never heard of them. You're going to be amazed on reward day. You're not going to hear the big names. You're going to hear of people who served God quietly and unknown on the streets of India, on the back roads of Uganda, down in the alley in Brazil, a little known church. If you pass by, you won't even see it. It's a hole in the wall. It has about 6 members, but they're there meeting and worshiping Jesus every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. They're under the threat of persecution. They're criticized by other big name churches and pastors. And they're looked at and laughed at. These are they that will be in the forefront on Rewards Day. Not the big name pastors. Not the big name churches. People you never heard of. People you thought never did anything for the Lord would be up front. And so, beloved, every believer is called to serve Christ diligently in whatever work he puts his hand to. And so, dear friend, if you struggle with sloth and laziness, take this passage to heart and begin to use it the next time you face that temptation. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Thank you for reminding us today. Many of us know your holy word regarding this and other things, but we need to be reminded by your Holy Spirit in a special way in a church meeting like this. And Lord, help us to be diligent in our business. Help us not to be slothful in business. Help us to be fervent in spirit in all that you would have us to do. And Lord, we pray that in the end, lost souls would come to know your Savior. Christians would be revived and encouraged, and your holy name glorified, and Jesus Christ exalted. For it is in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. And so, ladies and gentlemen, before I leave you, as always, my calling is as an evangelist. I'm not a pastor, per se, even though I do the work of a pastor from time to time. My main concern is that you get your soul saved from hell. And so, dear friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou, you, shalt confess with thy mouth of the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is as simple as that. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. You don't even have to get baptized to get saved. You can get saved right where you are by simply putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. And all you have to do is put your faith and trust from your heart in him and pray and ask him to save your soul. If you're willing to do that today, I am willing to lead you in what is commonly called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, believing in Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken some of your Ten Commandments, such as lust, coveting other people and other things that don't belong to me, lying, bearing false witness, stealing, taking your name in vain. Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, for they are many more. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my wretched soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and turn from my wicked ways and humble myself before you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Help me to follow you for the rest of my life. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Until next time, beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.